come to the Word of God here this afternoon, and we're in Luke's Gospel chapter 18. Luke's Gospel chapter 18, we're going to read from verse number 9, a well-known parable here in the Word of God. Luke's Gospel chapter 18, verse number 9, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that's speaking, and he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord concludes in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And we do look to the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts here this afternoon. I'm sure many of you look back to some of the catchphrases that accompanied television or radio adverts. I'm sure many can remember Gillette, the mist a man can get. Some will remember the Milky Bar kid who used to say, the Milky Bars are on me. Or they came in search of paradise and found it in bounty. Or you can't get better than a quick fit fitter. Those are just some that I scribbled down as I was thinking about what I was going to speak about here this afternoon. I think it was voted the most annoying advert on television, but it was also voted the most memorable one. And I'm sure you've heard the one where the opera singer sings about Go Compare. And of course there are many other comparison websites. We're not here to advertise Go Compare. But when I thought about the title Go Compare, you know, I was thinking about this parable. This parable, because there's a man in this parable, and what he did is he went and compared. You see it in verse number 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. You see, he was comparing himself to other men. When he looked at other men, but particularly when he looked at this publican who was also going up to the temple at this time, he realized in his own heart that he was much better than this man. And indeed he said, I thank thee that I am not as other men. As he looked around him, he couldn't really see anyone as good as himself. And he felt that surely if anyone is righteous, if anyone will ever get into God's heaven, surely that'll be me. Now I want you to be honest this afternoon as you sit in the vehicles. Because I've had this from people who don't know the Lord. I've had people say to me, and I'll use my own name, I'm a better person than Ian Wilson. He professes to be a Christian, but I know what he does and I know what he doesn't do. And I'm better than him. And sometimes we look at other people and we compare ourselves with them. And we say, I'm better than them. Some of the criminals, some who have murdered, I haven't stolen anything, I haven't murdered anybody, I live a decent life. And what you're doing is you're going and comparing yourself with other people. And of course, that's the wrong comparison. I would want you to go compare, but I want you to go and compare yourself with Christ. We read in Hebrews 7, verse 26, for such an high priest became us, and here's what it says, he is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. That cannot be said about one single person on planet Earth tonight, other than Jesus Christ. Holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Indeed, when we look at Christ and when we look at the Word of God, it says in Galatians 3, verse 22, but the Scripture hath concluded, and there's no other conclusion that we can come to, that all are under sin. I want you to compare yourself with someone this afternoon. But it's not someone that's sitting in your car. Or not someone that's sitting in the car beside you, in front of you, behind you. I want you to compare your life with Christ. You know, that's what Simon Peter did in Luke 5, verse 28. When he saw what Christ was able to do, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And Peter may have had a high opinion of himself, but when he saw Christ, he got the right opinion of himself. And he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." We read about Isaiah in his own book, Isaiah chapter 6, and we read that Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. When you come to the New Testament, you discover that he saw Jesus, John 12, verse 41. These things speak Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. And he was speaking about Christ. And Isaiah got a glimpse of Christ in all his glory. Do you know what Isaiah said? "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." You see, when Isaiah saw Christ, he realized what he really was like. And it's simple here this afternoon. I want you to compare yourself to Christ. And if you do that, and do it honestly, and do it sincerely, you'll discover what I discovered, and what every child of God in this car park discovered, that we're sinners in the sight of a holy God. You know, the Lord Jesus delivered this parable, and there was a multitude of people there. In verse 36, we read that there was a multitude there. There was a lot of people listening to the Lord. When we go back into chapter 17, we discover some of the things that Christ had said. In Luke 17, verse 11, it said, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." He was on his way to Jerusalem. He was on his way to the cross. And he tells them in the previous chapter that Christ must suffer many things. Luke 17, verse 25. And Christ tells them all about Calvary. He tells them all about the cross. And so he has told them about Calvary and told them about the cross. He says he's going to suffer many things. Now, they were looking forward, we're looking back. And we know that Christ suffered humiliation. He was stripped and clothed in scarlet and purple. We know that he suffered crucifixion. They took him out and they nailed him to the center cross, and there he died in agony and open shame for your sin and mine. We know that he suffered separation, even from God the Father, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And so we know all about Calvary. And so Christ spoke to them about Calvary. He also spoke to them about his coming. Again, in the previous chapter, he says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." He went on to say, likewise, like, "as it was in the days of Lot." You know, in the days of Noah, judgment was coming. It was just around the corner. But people lived as if there was no God. And the Lord says, that's what it'll be like just before my coming. In the days of Lot, you know, Sodom was rife. And Sodom is known for its immorality, man with men, woman with women. It was rife among Sodom, and God stepped in and God destroyed it. And here's what the Lord said, "As it was in the days of Lot, that's what it's going to be like when I return." Listen, Jesus Christ must be coming soon. When we see what's happening in our land, what's happening in our nation. He told them about Calvary. He told them about his coming. And in spite of that, we come to this parable. And here's what we read in verse 9. And I've called it the comparison. "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." In spite of being told about Calvary, in spite of being told about the coming of the Lord, there were still those who trusted in themselves. Now I come to you this afternoon, and I come loving and I come graciously. And I'm asking you, are you trusting in yourself? If someone was to ask you, what's going to get you to heaven? Could you have a list of things that you do or don't do? Is that what you would say this evening? How are you going to get to heaven? Are you saying, I'm going to get there myself? Listen, if I was to say to you tonight, I want you to go to the United States of America, you're not allowed to use a boat, you're not allowed to use an aeroplane. You're not allowed to travel in any vehicle at all. You know you couldn't walk to the United States. You know it's impossible to get there yourself. Listen, it's impossible for you to get to God's heaven yourself. And yet, in spite of Christ talking about Calvary and his coming, there were still some who trusted in themselves, trusted in something that they could do in order that they could get to God's heaven. Is it possible for a person to be righteous on their own account? Well, the psalmist tells us that we're born in sin. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Jeremiah tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Paul says there is none righteous, no, not one. And so I want you to go and compare yourself to Christ, and you'll see what we all see, that we're sinners in the sight of a holy God. Here are two men, and they're going up into the temple. And I want you to compare yourself to them for a moment. Think about the Pharisee. Verse 11 tells us, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This man had good qualities. This man was a good citizen, a good neighbor, a good husband. He's a very religious man. And he did everything religion asked of him. Indeed, he went beyond that. You know, he didn't have to fast twice a week, but he did. He didn't have to give a tenth of all that he possesses, but he did. He went above and beyond that was asked. He was faithful in business. He says, I'm not an extortioner. He was faithful in society. I'm not unjust. He was faithful to his wife. I'm not an adulterer. He was faithful to his country, or even as this publican. Publicans were seen as traitors. He was faithful to his religion. I fast twice in the week. He was a praying man, a fasting man, a giving man, a religious man. But listen, he was a deluded man. He was a deluded man. I thank thee that I am not as other men. As I say, he was making the wrong comparison. He was a deluded man and a deceived man. He was deceived into thinking he was righteous. He was deceived into thinking he could get to heaven by himself. He was deceived into thinking that religion could somehow cancel out his sin and somehow make him good enough for heaven. Now, if I was to ask you this afternoon, have you a list of things that you don't do? This man had a list of things he didn't do. You know what else he had? He had a list of things that he did do. And when he looked at what he did and what he didn't do, he says, I thank God I'm not like other men. He was filled with self-righteousness. He was going to heaven on his own steam, or so he thought. Are you a deluded man, a deluded woman? Are you a deceived man, a deceived woman? He was comparing himself to the wrong person. He was good living to the core. He would have been in church every Lord's Day, but on the last day, he would go to hell. There's no mention of sin, no mention of a Savior, no mention of need to be born again, no confession of sin. There was no desire for mercy. Now I want you to go compare. Are you like this Pharisee this afternoon? Now let's think about the publican for a few moments. A publican was an outcast. He was a tax collector. He was seen by his own people as a traitor. He would take money from the Jews and give it to the Romans, and often they lined their own pockets. So this man is a publican. Notice what happens in verse 13. The publican, standing afar off. This man felt so unworthy. He didn't feel worthy to be there. I believe the Lord has been working in his heart. And he knew something wasn't right. Look at his peering, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven. He couldn't even lift his head. He was filled with guilt. His head was down. He knew he wasn't right. This other man stands up boldly, and he tells God how good he is. This publican can't even lift his hand. He can't even stand close. He stands afar off. He was practicing spiritual distancing. He felt he just wasn't good enough. Look at the pounding. And the publican standing afar off would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven. He smote his breast. That smiting of the breast is a symbol of repentance. He's basically saying, I'm not right. I'm not right. I'm not right. Do you see the difference in the two men? Now, when you go compare, which one are you like this afternoon? Is the Pharisee like you? You're going to make it on your own. Or is the publican like you? You've realized that you're not good enough. You've realized you're a sinner. You realize if you're ever going to be in heaven, you cannot make it on your own. You need to come to Christ. And you need Christ. Here's this man's prayer. Listen to it carefully. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's seven words in it. Seven in Scripture is the perfect number. I know this is an English translation, but it's the perfect prayer. You see, this prayer has a direction, God. This man knew he couldn't do it himself. This man has supplication in his prayer. Be merciful. He knew he needed the mercy of God. Like the prodigal on the way back, he deserved nothing. You and I deserve nothing. We deserve to be punished for our sin. And all we can do is come and lean on the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, God, be merciful. There was direction. There was supplication. There was confession in the prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We could say it another way. There was a new direction, God. There was a new discovery, me, a sinner. I'm told in the original, it's what they call a definite article. This man believed, like Paul did, that he was the chief of sinners. He was the worst sinner that God had put breath in. That's how this man felt. Now go compare. Which one are you like this afternoon? Are you like this Pharisee? He was filled with his own righteousness and could tell you what he doesn't do and what he does. Or are you like this publican? Without Christ you realize you're lost. You can do nothing for yourself. And you need to lean on the mercy of Christ. Thank God. There's mercy with the Lord this afternoon. You know, Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, he outlines what we are like without Christ. We're without hope. We're without God. We're subject to evil passions. We're dominated by the devil, and we're damned and we're doomed. And then he breaks in verse 4. He says, but God. But God. Things are about to change. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he hath loved us. And then he goes on to say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God is rich in mercy. And he's happy to pour his mercy out on you, but you have to come. And you have to come as a sinner. Unless you realize you're a sinner, you won't be looking mercy from God. You're looking merit from God. You want God to say, well done, Mr. Pharisee. You have done so much good. You haven't done any bad. And you're looking merit. This other man was looking mercy. And you and I need the mercy of God. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. This publican got it. He saw himself as the worst of sinners in the sight of a holy God. Do you see yourself as a sinner this afternoon? We're just as guilty as those who spat on Christ, those who scourged Christ, those who mocked Christ. We could say, was it for me alone, the Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendors of the sky, was it for me? He came to die. Yes, it was for me, it's all for me. Go compare. Are you this publican? And you're still depending on your own righteousness, the things you do, and the things you haven't done? Or are you like this publican just now, who just came and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Here's what Christ said in verse 14. Here comes the pardon. I tell you, now Jesus is speaking. And when Jesus speaks, you can believe it. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. How will you go to your house this afternoon? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't renovated. He wasn't complimented. He is justified. Justified. That means he's declared righteous in the sight of a holy God. Now, let me make it simple for you this afternoon. When you realize you're a sinner and realize that your righteousness is nothing more than filthy rags, when you look to Christ, you see the one who was absolutely perfectly righteous. And he's saying to you, I will give you my righteousness. And I will take your sin. But in order to do that, you're going to have to turn to Christ and accept Christ as your Savior. And you could go back to your house this afternoon justified. Justified in the sight of a holy God. One of these men came in rich in his own works. He left poor towards God. He came in confident in the presence of God. He went out rejected. The other man came in empty. He went out full. He came in a sinner. He went out forgiven. He came in poor. He went out rich. He came in lost. He went out saved. He went to his own house justified. I don't know why you're going straight home to your house or not. But will you go to your house justified? Or will you go to your house the way you came? Without Christ. Without hope. You know, I could take the subject of go compare and apply it to a lot of people. If I could take you beyond the realm of death, I could tell you about two men in the same a book that we've been looking at this afternoon. These two men are found in Luke's Gospel. One is a rich man, we're not told his name. The other is a beggar called Lazarus. The rich man, we're told, died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. Now, I'm just saying this to you this afternoon. I'm not shouting at you. This rich man lived the best life he could. He died, and Jesus Christ said, he is tormented in hell. This poor man, he died, and he wasn't in Abraham's bosom because he was poor, but because he was a child of God. He died, and he was in Abraham's bosom in the presence of God's people. Now go compare. If you were to die this afternoon, God forbid, would you be like the rich man tormented in hell? Or would you be like Lazarus who's in glory? Well, it depends, doesn't it? It depends whether you're depending like the Pharisee on himself, or like this publican, you'll just fall at the feet of Jesus and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have two grandchildren now, and it's got to the stage, even though they're only one, that you start to read them stories out of books. I don't know how much they take in, but they certainly like noises anyway. But I can remember, I'm sure you can too, as a child, all the fairy stories. And you'll remember the story about Snow White and the seven dwarfs. You remember the wicked witch. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? And sometimes that's how we look at things to do with God. We look in the mirror. And we think that we're the fairest of them all. And yet if you look in the mirror of God's word, you discover that you're lost, you're hopeless, you're hell bound. And the truth is, The fairest of them all is Jesus Christ. He's the lily of the valleys. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Will you compare yourself to Christ? If you look in the mirror of God's word, you'll see that you're a sinner. You'll see that Christ is the fairest of them all. And Christ wants to give you, impute you, his righteousness. If you'll come like this publican and just simply say, God, be merciful to me because I deserve nothing. I'm going to have to lean on you and what Christ has done at Calvary. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You could leave this car park justified. Will you go home justified this afternoon? That's our prayer. That's our hope. That's what you need. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Lord, there may be somebody here and they're always comparing themselves to other people. And perhaps, Lord, they're right when they say, I thank God I'm not like other people. But Lord, they need to look to thee. They need to realize in the sight of a sinless, spotless Christ, they're sinners and they're lost, and they need to fall and lean on the mercy of God. Lord, will you speak to such this afternoon? And Lord, our prayer is and our heart's desire is that someone will simply call out by faith, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen.